All right, I'm going to ask you to stand before y'all are get too sleepy, okay? We're going to sing a couple more songs. We're going to sing hymn 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We're going to sing the first and the third. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord. For sin and a peace that endureth, Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. And then the last song we're going to sing is hymn 471, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Needs go home, way of the cross, there it is. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the wrinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where He waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go.
be seated. Well, what did I tell you? All the Brother Simpson you can handle. We're going to be back in Psalms 23. I started this a couple of weeks ago with the plan to be right where we are this Sunday. I had to sneak it in on a Wednesday night, verse 4 on a Wednesday night. But this, I feel, is such a precious psalm, and it's such a reminder of what an intimate and wonderful relationship we have with our Lord, isn't it? This is a beloved psalm by many, and again, I'm just going to read the whole thing. We're going to focus to this afternoon on verses 5 and 6. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There's good reason why this is such a beloved hymn. It, again, as I said, describes this intimate relationship. We see David writing this. Those first three verses are descriptive of such a loving relationship, a shepherd who is careful and attentive to his sheep, who provides safety and abundance and a quiet and calm existence, even in difficult times. He's a shepherd who restores. Boy, that's powerful and precious, isn't it? And he leads us. He leads us not just through whatever paths of life we might stumble into. No, he leads us into a good path. Wednesday, we looked at verse 4, talking about when we're faced with difficult circumstances, especially the most difficult circumstance that all of us face, and that is imminent death. A terrible thing, something that is not natural to us, something that is that God did not build into his original design. I think that's, personally, that's why I think people fight so hard to stay alive, because it is not natural for us to experience death. We were made eternal. But when we face death, when we face difficult circumstances, David, in his writing, he switched from talking about his shepherd to talking to his shepherd. And he said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me." He didn't have to fear evil because his shepherd is with him, there to protect him, there to continually bring him back into the fold with his staff. And today, we'll take a short amount of time, and I have a little something else planned for after this, but I want to take a little bit of time and look at these last two precious verses. We've seen how it's the shepherd who guides, the shepherd who keeps us in the valley, keeps us safe, guards us. And this is now the shepherd who invites us home. In verse 5, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You know, the shepherd invites us into his home. Hasn't Christ done that? I mean, through his sacrifice, the whole purpose was to restore us in an intimate relationship with him so that we could live forever with him. So that what he originally had designed, that we have an intimate, loving, reciprocal relationship with him would extend not just in this life, but into the next for all eternity. And he is inviting us into his home. Jesus said he went to go prepare a place, didn't he? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's going to come back and get us. And so he invites us into his home. And look at what he does. It says, thou preparest a table before me. It's like he's expecting a special guest. Whenever we're in the Thanksgiving season right now, and I don't know how many of y'all are going to host a Thanksgiving meal. Melissa and I think, have hosted maybe one or two Thanksgiving meals in our home in almost 13 years of marriage. But we really enjoyed the opportunity when we got to do Christmas. We like to do Christmas meals. And we got to do that with her parents and with my parents and family. And we would go all out, decorate the house. When we lived in Bedford, I still put lights on the house. I gave that up after a while. It's a lot of work. And we had old lights. But I put lights all over the house. And in that house in Bedford, we had two Christmas trees, one in the front and one in the back, a pretty one and one that was, you know, the family one, right? And we'd put out all the decorations, and then we would save up and we would buy a prime rib roast. Anybody ever had a standing rib roast? Oh, man. I mean, cooking all day long. People are anxious. When's that roast going to be done? Let's get it out of there. I want me some beef. And we would roast, and we would spend time, and we'd prepare special recipes of carrots and mashed potatoes and all kinds of good accoutrements. And this is kind of what the Lord is doing with the shepherd. He's preparing a table. He's preparing this table that is a table for an honored guest. I mean, Jesus didn't go to the cross so he could go to heaven and say, hey, yeah, here's some cheese and crackers at this feast. No, the feast that he's preparing for us is amazing. It's wonderful. And it's something worth being thankful and celebrating about. And not only does he do that, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He is honoring us in the presence of our enemies. He treats us like an honored guest. It says, thou anointest my head with oil. You wouldn't expend your anointing, your good anointing oil, on just some guy off the street. No, you would lavish that on an honored, beloved guest. My cup runneth over. He's going to give us reason to be glad, to experience gladness and abundance in such a way that we're just bursting with joy and happiness and fulfillment. Wow. Maybe the second, this last verse, maybe the most precious, one of the most precious truths in Scripture, is that the eternal life, this feast we're being introduced into, this home that we're being invited into, it begins now. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This begins right now. When you trust the Lord as your Savior. Nathan, are we broadcasting? Oh, we are. Okay. All right. Thanks. I got to share the gospel this week. Really precious opportunity. And one of the questions I was asked is, well, when do you receive eternal life? Do you receive it now? I mean, it kind of seems like now, but that doesn't make sense. So does it happen whenever you die? Well, the Bible tells us that if we have the Son, we have life. We have eternal life right now. And here, David writing, he says, surely goodness, all the benefits, all the blessings of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, it begins right here and now in this life. And it's going to follow us all the days of our life. Well, does that mean we're not going to face difficult circumstances? Of course we're going to face difficult circumstances. But who do we turn to? Our good shepherd. We could turn to him who will lead us by the still waters into the green pastures to a place of peace, even in our storms. And then listen how this passage ends. It says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We receive eternal life right now, the blessings, the benefits of this incredible relationship based solely on Christ's amazing, extravagant love. And we don't just get to experience it for a little while. You know, Christmas dinners that Melissa and I worked so hard to produce, which there's no way I think we could do it with the kids we have now. It's too much work. Maybe we could. Those dinners came to an end. We sent people home and said, all right, time to clean up. We're done. See you next time. But this will never end. We get to not just be invited into his home as honored guests, but as family. We're in this time of Thanksgiving. And man, I am blessed. I got to be one of the most blessed guys on this planet. I really believe that. God has been so good to us. I spoke to that this morning about how God has blessed me with a wonderful family. I'm going to tell you, I'm blessed, and I said this morning, but I'm tremendously blessed by this church. Y'all are so faithful and patient and kind and gracious. I'm blessed that I'm getting an education from a long-serving pastor that I don't think I would get in any seminary on this planet. God has given me an opportunity to lead his church, and it's a burden, and I could see it that way. But man, what an opportunity to serve the Lord. What a blessing. And I just want to praise God today. But it couldn't be possible unless I had a relationship with this good shepherd. Now would be a time where I say, maybe you're here today, and then I start into a typical invitation. But, you know, I think it's pretty much only members except for one visitor. And we're gonna stop the broadcast, and we're going to have a time of Thanksgiving if we could do that. Let's have a word of prayer. And I just want to encourage you. Listen, I don't know what y'all's plans are for Thanksgiving, but, hey, we're a church family right here. And I want us to have an opportunity to show thanks. And hopefully I'm not putting you two on the spot, but don't be afraid, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful for the many abundant blessings that I have in you. They are without count. I cannot number them. Lord, if I tried, I would forget so many, because every breath is a gift. Every moment to worship you is a gift, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for your love to me. Lord, for my story, I have not faced as many difficult and trying circumstances as many have, Lord, but I've had times where my faith has been challenged or where I've faced darkness. But Lord, it's all part of a story that you've woven into my life to draw me closer and closer to you day by day. Lord, ultimately, to see me give myself to you, surrender my life, put all my faith and trust in you, to have a relationship and be redeemed by you. And God, I praise you for that. 24 years I've had this wonderful relationship. And Lord, to carry me into ministry, I can't imagine a more challenging or a more honoring place to be. Lord, you've given me a wonderful, and I can't say enough about how wonderful my family is. But Lord, it's all because of you. Beautiful wife, loving, caring, sweet and tenderhearted. Beautiful sons, sweet, sweet niece, Sedona. Loving extended family. Lord, I'm just blessed and I praise you. Lord, I thank you so much again for this church and their, I don't know why they would trust in me, but I guess the truth is they trust in you. And so, Lord, I just am humbled and I'm just blessed by them. And I just praise you for them. And I praise you for the dark times we're going to face together and the celebrations and the excitement and the joy that we're going to share. Lord, I'm just overflowing with love and gratefulness. And Lord, help me to not forget that all of this is not just due to me being such a nice guy or so deserving or anything like that, but it's due to you, your love, your care, and your abundance. Lord, I pray you just be with us in this short time. Lord, help us to give thanks and praise to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, this is the part where I quit talking and I allow somebody else to talk. Somebody want to say thanks?
Well, yeah, I do, Brother Darren. I'm telling you, I'm just glad to say thanks.
Yes.
You're entering in sort of the front end of a life of ministry, pastoral ministry, and I'm on the other end of that ministry till I die, but not pastoral ministry as such. And my prayer is for you that you will be much more fruitful and much more used to the Lord than he ever has with me, and that you will love it, that you will find it a joy to do. But I can tell you, and part of my thanksgiving is, as Paul said, that he would let me do it. He counted me